You know, God speaks it to us today. Sometimes when we're not even expecting, he speaks. It was several years ago that it was during October, right before October, and this is our missions month. Usually October we emphasize missions here in our church. And I was preparing for Missions Month back a number of years ago. And I was preparing messages, preparing the speakers to come in. We had different speakers, different missionaries that visited with us. And the thought came to my heart, you know, I think it might be a good thing to go out and buy some missions books, some books on missions, and have them available out in the foyer, and people that would like to purchase those books and read those books during Missions Month. It might be a great encouragement for them to read and get excited about missions. So, at that time, there were several Christian bookstores in this area, and I went to the closest one. And I walked in, and I looked around the store, and I didn't see any books on missions. So I went up to one of the ladies that was one of the employees, and I said, where are your books on missions? And she kind of looked a little puzzled, and she said, I don't think we have any books on missions. And I said, really? She said, no, we don't have books on missions. So I thought, man, that's strange. So I left that store, and I headed over to Kent, because there was a Christian bookstore in Kent, Ohio. And so I traveled over to that Christian bookstore. I went in, and I looked around that bookstore, and I didn't see any books on missions. So I walked up to a guy that was working there, and I said, where are your books on Christian missions? And he said, we don't have any. I said, you don't have any books on Christian missions? And he said, no. And then I was the one that had the puzzled look on my face. No books on Christian missions? No books. So, not to be deterred, I left and I thought, I'm going to drive out to Fairlawn because there's a bookstore out there. It's a bigger bookstore. I think it's called Lifeway now, Lifeway Christian Books. It used to be called, I think, Maranatha or Berean. And I drove all the way out to Fairlawn. And I walked in that store, and I walked all around the store, and I didn't see any books on missions. So I walked up to the lady, one of the ladies that were there, and I said, do you have any books on Christian missions? And she said, yes, I think we do. I said, oh, great. You're not going to believe this, but I've been to two Christian bookstores, and neither of them have had books on Christian missions. So I followed this lady over to this book rack. And there she said, she pointed down, and in the corner of that book rack, down at the very bottom, were three books on Christian missions. Three books. She said, there's our books on Christian missions. And I thanked her. And then I looked down and saw three books. And I looked up and over, and here was this book rack, four shelves high, probably about 15 feet long, of self-help books, Christian psychology books, how to be successful, how to be financially successful, how to raise positive kids in a negative world, how to have a great marriage, all these self-help books, four tiers high, 15 feet long. And that's when God spoke to me. And here's what I heard in my heart. I looked down, saw the three books on Christian missions. I looked over and saw all these books, and this is what spoke in my heart. If my people were more concerned about what burdens my heart, I would be more concerned and help them in what burdens their heart.
Amen.
I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. I mean, no one heard it around me. I don't hear voices. But I'm going to tell you, I heard it in my heart. And I'm going to say today, you know what? Things haven't changed. Linda and I went down to Amish country a week ago last Saturday. And we went to the big Christian bookstore, you know, where Saul's is. Does anybody know where that is in Berlin? They have that big Christian bookstore there. And I thought, we're coming up on Missions Month again. I'd like to read a Christian biography, you know. Something on missions. And so I looked and didn't see anything. And Linda said, go ask. You know, women, our wives have to always say, ask them. I said, okay, I'll ask. So I went up and said to the woman behind the counter, Linda was with me. I said, where are your books on Christian missions? And she said, I don't know if we have any. And she went over and looked. I said, Hudson Taylor or Adoniram Judson or one of the biggies. You have no Christian, you know, biographies on mission? There was none. Folks, God, He is burdened with lost souls. On His heart, on God's heart, are Christian missions going out into the world. That's what's on God's heart. It's on God's heart. And if we would be more concerned with what's on His heart, He would be more concerned and help us with a lot of the things that are on our hearts. Well, we are starting Christian Missions Month. And that you remember last year, the theme was answering God's call for your life. Well, this year, the theme is reaching your Jerusalem. The themes are, by the way, they are the missions team comes up with those themes. And we do have a wonderful missions team in this church. And I, by the way, before I begin, would the missions team, if you're on the missions team, would you stand up, please? I want people to know who you are. Would you stand up, missions team, come on now, come on, there you go. And Bill in the back. And I think we have the Sudries, are they here?
Out of town,
okay. And Steve Sudries on the team. Anybody else that's not here that's on the team? This is our missions team. Would you thank them for the work that they do? Thank you so much. Because they keep missions front and center in our church. And we are thankful. Thankful to Brother Bill for really getting our missions emphasis on target here at Faith Bible Fellowship. And we do have a wonderful missions emphasis here. But we're thankful for that. They came to me, and they come to me each year and say, here's what our theme is. This year it's reaching your Jerusalem. Reaching your Jerusalem. And we're going to have a number of local missionaries in each of our weeks. And they're going to be sharing with you opportunities to get involved in reaching your Jerusalem and even beyond that. So I'm excited about this month of what God's going to do. With that in mind, take your Bibles, open them up to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And Acts is what I would call the missions book in the New Testament. It's the missions book in the New Testament. And it records the early church carrying out the marching orders of Jesus Christ as they took the gospel, the good news, into the world. This is the missions book. And this morning we're going to look at verses 1 through 8 of Acts chapter 1. And you listen and follow along as I read. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. We read there, "The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, 'You heard of from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, 'Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It's not for you to know the times or epochs, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth.'" Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we pray today that you would speak to us, that we would hear your voice, Lord, through your word and through your Holy Spirit, that you would speak to each and every one of our hearts, both today and throughout this month of missions. Lord, may we be listening to you, answering your call, finding out maybe new ways of reaching people around us that are in desperate need of Jesus Christ. So Lord, speak. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. God's people said, amen. 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 Let's look first, if you have your outline in the bulletin there, let's look first of all at the person for missions, the person for missions. Who are missions all about? And if you look at verse 1 in our text this morning, there are three people that are mentioned in that first verse. It says, it reads, "The first account I composed." Now that I is referring to the human author of this book, and that is the Apostle Luke. The Apostle Luke. Now, Luke is found in this book. He's a part of what goes on in this book. But the book of Acts is not really about Luke. He's one of the players in the story, but it's not about Luke. He's not the main character. The person of missions is not Luke. It's not even the other apostles, because all the apostles are found in the book of Luke. But actually, the book of Luke is not about the apostles. The person of mission is not Luke or any of the apostles. There's another person. The second person referred to in this initial verse is the initial recipient of this book. He's a man by the name of Theophilus. That word means lover of God. Now, I believe that this person was a real person, that Luke was writing to and sending to a real person. Some believe that this is a reference to Christians in general. We are lovers of God, and this book was written for lovers of God, all of us Theophiluses. But you know what? Theophilus is not the person of missions, nor are the spiritual Theophiluses that exist today Christians. Missions is not about the children of God or Christians. But there's a third person mentioned in that first verse. Do you see him there? About all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And here we have the person of missions is Jesus Christ. He's the one it's all about. And what do we know about him? First of all, he came into the world. You know, Luke says, the first account I composed, Theophilus, about all Jesus began to do and teach. That first account that he mentions there is the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, which records the earthly life of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, Jesus came into this world and he was a man on a mission. He was a man on a mission. He came to do, it says, and to teach the will of God. He came in his own words. You know why he came? Here's what Jesus said. He came to preach the gospel to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served. This is God. He should have come to be served. But he said, no, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. That's why I came. You know why I came? Let me tell you why I came. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. That's why I came. He came, you know what he came? He came on a rescue mission. Yep. He came on a rescue mission. He came to rescue sinners. Yep. Aren't you glad? Come on, you can say amen in this church. You know what? I'm glad he came, because if he wouldn't have done that, we'd be lost in our sin. Yes, right. He came on a rescue mission. He came to rescue sinners, to save that which was lost. He came to rescue us. He came into the world on a mission of reconciliation, to provide forgiveness of sins and to get rebellious sinners back into right relationship with God. Amen. I'll tell you, you're going to hear more about that next week. Oh, you've got to come next week. What God did, we're going to look at that. But that's why he came. In fact, I believe Jesus was the first Christian missionary. Amen. He came into this world. But look at number two on your outline. He continues to work in the world. This is amazing. The Gospel of Luke was written about all that Jesus began to do and teach. Now, the book of Acts is going to relate what Jesus continues to do and to teach in this world. You see, the book of Acts is a sequel. It's a sequel. But the main character is still the same. Yes. Jesus Christ. And he continues to work. In fact, a lot of people call this book the Acts of the Apostles. Not a good name. Some have better termed it Acts of the Holy Spirit. In fact, in my quiet time now, I'm reading through the book of Acts, and I'm circling all the times where the Holy Spirit's. I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit, man, is prominent in the book of Acts. But we could call this book the Acts of Jesus Christ. The Acts of Jesus Christ. I think that's a good name. Because you know what, folks? Listen, Jesus Christ is still working. He's at work in this world. He's still on a mission to save souls. Listen, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, he's after you. You thought you decided, I think I'll just go to church today. God has you here. He's seeking you. The hound of heaven is on your trail. And he wants to save you. He continues to work even today. He's seeking to save that which is lost. Now, but how does he carry out that mission? How does he do this today? Number three on your list, he commissions people to go into the world. Verse 2. See it there? Until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, about a month ago, maybe a little, I think it was about a month ago, God spoke to me again, some very humbling words. Do you know what he said to me? He said, Les, people don't need you. Really? In fact, he said, Pastor Les, people don't need you. I said, really, Lord? And he said, no, they don't need you. They need me. So what you need to do, Pastor Les, is you need to get so filled up with me that wherever you go, people don't see Pastor Les. They see me. That's what he told me. It's kind of like this. You know, you have a person, he's out in the desert. This person's dying in the desert. Do you know what they need? I'll tell you what they need. They need a canteen. Right? They need a canteen. You're dying. Here's a canteen. Now here's a canteen. Here's a canteen. I don't need no canteen. What's an old canteen gonna do? You know what? They don't need a canteen. You know what they need? They need an old canteen filled up with living water. They need the water of life. They don't need a canteen. They need the water of life. They need Jesus. See? That's what they need. They don't need you, Pastor Les. They need me. Well, I was telling that to somebody. After God shared that with me, one day I went to the hospital to visit somebody sitting right over here. And I told them, I said, you know what God told me? God doesn't need you, Pastor Les. God needs Jesus. I mean, people don't need you, Pastor Les. They need Jesus. And that lady sitting right over there, Trudy, said to me, yes, Pastor, but we need Jesus with skin on. Ooh. Yeah. Ooh, there's a truth there. God doesn't need us. People don't need us. But listen, God has chosen us. He's chosen us to be filled up with Jesus and to take him out into the world. Do you see it? God could have done it by himself. I often wonder, why didn't you do it by yourself, God? You could do a much better job. But he said, no, I've chosen earthen vessels. Like us, to get filled up with the water of living water with Jesus and to take him out into the world. He's commissioned us to go to the world. Wow. How many of you have ever gone to Arlington National Cemetery and to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier? Would you raise your hands high? How many of you have watched the changing of the guard? Isn't that an amazing ceremony? 365 days of the year. Every hour on the hour, there's a changing of the guard. You know, a new guard shows up, and the old guard is going off duty. And you know, the guard that's leaving gives a word to the new guard that's coming on to guard that tomb. You know what the message is? Orders remain unchanged. Do you know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ gave us marching orders. It says here, they received, after he had given orders to the apostles. Remember what the orders were? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's the marching orders. That's the mark. They were given 2,000 years ago. And guess what? Orders remain unchanged. Even to the end of it. That's us. That's us. Go into the world. Reach people with for Christ. Go and get filled up with Jesus and take him out. Overflow. They don't need us. They need him. Amen. Number four on your list there. Not only has he come into the world and he continues in the world and he's commissioned workers for the world, but he conveys the message for the world. In verse 3, he gives us the message. You know what the message is? The gospel. It's the gospel. It's the good news. Jesus suffered and died for sins. He rose from the dead. He's a living Savior. And he presented himself alive after his suffering by, and I like the King James here, many infallible proofs. Infallible. I like that word. I think mine says many convincing. Infallible. Jesus died for sin. Here's good news. For all of us, Jesus died for our sins. That's what this table's about, right? He died for you. He died for you. He died to pay the penalty for our sins. But he didn't stay dead. He came alive. He's a living Savior. That's why he continues to work in the world. He's alive. He's a living Savior. And he showed himself alive. Many infallible proofs. So on the cross, he paid our sins. He rose from the dead. And he sent these into the world to take him to a lost world. So let me ask you something. Do you know him? Do you know him? The greatest thing in this world is to come to know Jesus. To have a personal relationship with him. Every one of us can have now a personal relationship with him because he died for our sins. He rose from the dead. If you believe in him and invite him into your heart, you'll be saved. And it'll come in. You can have a personal relationship with him. And then listen, if you know him, are you following the marching orders? Are you involved in missions? Are you involved in taking the gospel, the good news about Jesus out to the world? That's what we're to be about. That's why he left us here. Amen. We can worship God in heaven. We can't go out with the gospel in heaven. That's why he left us here. I hear somebody saying, oh, Pastor, wait a second, Pastor. I've never gone to seminary. I've never gone to Bible college. I'm weak. I'm not a good communicator. I can't do this stuff. were these apostles? I got news for you. I don't know if Paul's here or not, Paul Carter, but the apostles never went to Moody Bible Institute. They didn't. They didn't go to Grace, Mike. I mean, they were uneducated. They were weak. They were fearful men. Bunch of fishermen, Ernie. Bunch of fishermen. And yet God used these people. You see, he's not looking for superstars. He's looking for people that are sold out to Christ, that are sold out to a person. He's the person of missions. It's all about him. It's not about us. It's about him. But he takes weak people and he gives them power. Now, that's the second point on your outline. The person of missions is Jesus Christ. The power for missions, where does the power come from? Well, he gives a command in verse 4. You see what he said? Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. Now, that command that he gave, you know what the command was? Don't leave the premises. Wait for the promise. Don't leave the premise. Wait for the promise. They were to remain in Jerusalem and wait for the promise. This was very, I'll tell you what, folks, this was very important. Because the worst thing they could have tried to do was to go out and try to do the mission in their own flesh, in their own power. Folks, that would have been disastrous. They would have got discouraged. They would have, you know what it would have ended up? They would have failed. They would have failed. So he said, you know what? Wait. You know, it's hard to wait, isn't it? Linda and I were doing some counseling this last Thursday night. And the person we were talking to, the advice we gave is, you got to wait for God. And this person said, you know what? I have a problem with waiting. You know what I said? Me too. It's hard to wait. It's hard to wait. We want, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. Right? We want God to work. Wait. Wait in Jerusalem. Now listen, biblical waiting is not this.
I'm waiting, God.
Man. Whoa. I'm waiting for you, Lord. Or, well, I might as well watch some TV while I'm waiting for God. That's not biblical waiting. Biblical waiting is seeking the Lord. It's active seeking of God. Amen. It's putting those other things kind of on the back burner and putting God on the front burner and seeking him. And they did that. If you look down in verse, I think it's 14, it states that they were continually devoting themselves to what?
Prayer.
To prayer. To prayer. That's waiting on God. That's what waiting means, to actively seek him. Actively seek him. And let me just say this. Waiting time is not wasted time. It's very important that we wait for the Lord. Seek the Lord. It's not wasted time at all. Don't leave the premises, he says. Wait for the promise. And look at the promise in verse 5. What is the promise? For John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. They were to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. God had promised to send, listen, this is amazing, the third person of the Trinity of God to come down and indwell them. Listen, to permanently take up residence in their bodies, in our bodies. For we are the what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. When a person gets saved, when a person comes to know God, God himself takes up residence in us. That's the promise. That's his promise. But the disciples had a question. You see verse 6 and 7? So when they had come together, they were asking him and asking him and asking him and asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? The disciples were asking Jesus about setting up a literal, physical kingdom here on earth. There's no doubt about that. That's what they were asking about. And Jesus, now listen. There are those who would teach today there's not going to be a literal kingdom on earth. That Jesus' kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. Now, again, is Jesus' kingdom a spiritual kingdom? There's a spiritual aspect of the kingdom of God. He's at rule right now on the throne of our hearts. We have been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son. We're in one sense in the kingdom. But does that mean that there's not going to be a literal kingdom to come? I don't think so. And I say that because this would have been the perfect time. This would have been the perfect place when they came to Jesus and said, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? For Jesus to say, oh, you guys, don't you get it? It's not a literal kingdom. It's not a physical kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. Come on. But Jesus didn't say that. What did he say? It is not for you to know the times or epochs that the Father has fixed in heaven. He said, it's not for you to know the periods or the points on God's prophetic timeline. You know, there are those that really focus on the periods and the points. Yeah. Like Edgar Wisen back in 88. Some of you were alive back then. I was very young. 88 reasons why Jesus is coming in 1988. He was wrong. Remember Harold Camping? Remember? It went all over the United States. I don't know what year that was. Anybody remember? 15, 14? I don't know. 12? Was it 12? Jesus is coming September 22nd in 2012. He's coming. They had billboards all over the United States. They were wrong. The last one, I don't know if you remember, know this or not, was September 23rd, 2017. You know why? You know why Jesus was coming? All the stars and all the planets were lining up, just like it is in Revelation chapter 12. They were wrong. Well, why were they wrong? It's not for you to know the times of the epochs. Amen. Jesus said, nobody knows that. Not the angels in heaven and in his incarnate state, not even the Son of Man. Don't dwell on the dates. Yes. We don't know when he's coming. Right. We don't know. That's what he said. But I'll tell you what, it's fixed on God's calendar. Jesus is coming again. And you know, and if he'd tell us, I thought about this morning. Why doesn't he tell us when he's coming? What if he'd say, I'm coming on September 23rd to 2025? How would that affect us? Well, I have some years to, you know, just do my thing, and then I'll get right before he comes. Or, you know, I have time to reach my friends with the gospel, or my neighbors, or I have time. That's how it would affect us. Do you know what the truth is? He could come today. Amen. He could come at any time. He puts it, his return is imminent, and that should be a great encouragement for us to do missions. We got to work while we have the time to work. You see, he may come today. He may not come for 10 years or 50 years or 100 years. But until he comes, we need to be out spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the power, what's the source of the power? Look at verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The word power is dunamis. It's the word we get dynamite from. The power for missions is in the person of the Holy Spirit. The original disciples were ordinary people. We look at them and we put them up here. Oh, he's an apostle. Ordinary people. Uneducated. Weak. Fearful. They all ran away. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. They were ordinary people like us. But I'll tell you what. When they got filled with the Holy Spirit of God, they were lions for Jesus. They were bold for Christ. They were fearless for the Lord. They gave their lives for Christ. The power was in the Holy Spirit of God. I thought about that. I thought about a picture that I remember seeing on the Time. I think it was on the front page, the cover of, I think it was Life magazine. This was back a number of years ago. And what the picture was on the cover of that magazine was the picture of the aftermath of a tornado down in West Texas. And what was interesting in that picture was it showed a piece of straw that had been projected and went through a telephone pole. How can a little piece of straw go through a telephone pole? Look at that. Look how flimsy that is. How can that happen? How can a piece of straw go through a limb on a tree? How can that happen? Here's how it happens. When the straw is totally yielded to the power of the wind. And by the way, we've seen some wind, haven't we? We've seen Harvey and Irma and Maria. Did you watch any of those reports on TV? Did you see how powerful that wind was? It just killed me when you have those reporters. They were crazy. They're out there trying to report in the storm, in a powerful wind, 130 miles an hour or more. How can this happen? When this straw is totally yielded to the power of the power of the wind becomes the power of the straw. And it can go through things. That's the danger of being out in a tornado or a hurricane. Because little things like a piece of straw can go right through your eye. And you know what, folks? When we, as weak, ordinary people, are totally yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit of God, the power of the Spirit becomes the power of the Christian. Weak, ordinary. That power becomes our power. Like A.C. Dixon once said, he said these words. He said, if we depend on what organization can do, if we depend on organization, we will get what organization can do. If we depend on education, we will get what education can do. If we depend on eloquence, we will get what eloquence can do. But if we depend on the Holy Spirit, we will get what God can do. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, folks, the power is the Holy Spirit. The person of missions is Jesus Christ. The power for missions is the Holy Spirit. Now, thirdly and lastly, the plan for missions. The plan for missions. What are we to do and how are we to do it? Let me just really quickly just say this. The plan is personal. Verse 8, and you. That was the original apostles, but in its extension, it is us. And you were called to be a part of the plan. And this is not just pastors and missionaries like Esley and Chris. This is all of us. This is all of us. It's personal. Secondly, the plan is passionate, and you shall be my witnesses. We're to be passionate witnesses of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're to tell people that God loves them and has sent his son to die for them on the cross. He took the penalty which we deserved. He suffered and bled and died to pay for our sins. Then he came alive again, defeating death, and he and everyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting eternal life. We're to be witnesses. And this plan is to use us to take that message out to people. And it's a life and death mission. The word witness, you will be my witnesses, is the word martyreo, from which we get the English word martyr. It's a life and death mission. We've got to be passionate about this. Lives, souls are in the balance. We're passionate for the cause. It's a personal plan. It's a passionate plan. And it's a plan that's prescribed. You see, he says, what I mean there, he lays it out for us. He says, you'll be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all in Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Start where you are. That's your Jerusalem. Listen to me. Start with your family. Witness to your family. Start with your neighbors. I bet you have people around you in your neighborhood that are not saved. God put you there to reach them. Start with your coworkers. The men and women in your office. Now, don't neglect your work. You do a good job where you are. That's part of your testimony and witness. But as God opens doors, tell them about Jesus. Start in your Jerusalem. Then go out to Judea and Samaria. Then to the uttermost parts. Do you see it's concentric circles? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts. You know what that is? That's the outline of Book of Acts. That's what they did. That's what we're to do. And the light that shines brightest at home shines farthest. Yeah. See, what we're to do is we're to take the gospel to everyone. It says to the remotest parts. That word is eschatu, which means to the last one, to the last soul. That is the plan. It's personal. It includes every one of us because we're either a missionary or a mission field. It is passionate. Eternal souls are at stake. It is prescribed. First reach your Jerusalem. But don't stop there. Never stop until every person, every creature has heard, been given an opportunity to receive Christ and be saved. That's the plan. That's what God calls us to. Now I'm going to close. And we're going to have a song. But this altar is open. And we're going to open this altar all the days of our missions month. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ, he died for you and rose again. He loves you. He wants to come into your heart. He deserves your worship. Give your life to Christ. I pray you'd come. Just kneel down. All you have to do is say, Jesus, come into my heart. I believe. He'll save you today. Christians, maybe God's calling you to be more passionate for missions. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. We're going to sing that. Maybe God's saying and spoke to you today. Say, I want you to come and be more committed to the cause. You come. and asked the Lord to do work in your life. Or maybe he just spoke to you in some other way, and you just need to come and meet the Lord. As we sing, would you come? Lord, we just bow before you. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you. Lord, it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's not about any of us. We're just old canteens, Lord. Some of us a little older than others, but we're old canteens. People need the living water. They need you. Lord, as we sing this last song, if a person needs to come forward and just say, I want Christ, or I want to be more committed, or I want to dedicate my life to full-time missions, speak to their hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. God's people said.